Christian greetings to each one in the name of Jesus, the one who has done so much for us and brought us to this day and hour. And grace and peace be multiplied to each one as we can continue walking in his ways and statutes, keeping his commandments, loving him with all of our heart, and denying anything that is not acceptable and the word of God. So it's good to be here. I am so grateful to God for the patience that people have and the understanding and so forth. But today is a wonderful day that the Lord has made, and it is such a blessing to know that God is the one who does this. We have no qualms. We have no questions. He has blessed us with a wonderful day, brought us together, and it's just our hearts just overflowing with praise and thanksgiving. Okay, we have been working on a message some time already, and several messages actually, but anyhow, the Lord has directed me to this message of the living sacrifice. What is a living sacrifice? You can turn to Romans chapter 12, a very familiar verse that the Apostle Paul has preached to the people. And the first verse will be the key verse, Romans chapter 12, verse 1. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Paul was very concerned, very intently urging and just pleading that, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable and unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's only a reasonable service. It's only reasonable. Especially when we consider what all God has done for us through Jesus Christ. And sometimes I think, well, I don't appreciate it as much as I should. As much as I really, when I stop and think, you know, and sometimes we just have to open up and say, God, I'm sorry. And I'm so glad that the Holy Spirit works in us to keep us on course and to help us as we go in all our words and thoughts and deeds and attitudes that we have. It's very necessary that we follow him and praise him and honor him. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men. If we can just be, and here he is beseeching, he's begging urgently, and he entreats us, or he implores, he wants us to give our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. Well, you know, a sacrifice, you know, that's we read the sacrifice is a sacrifice that's on the altar and it's being burned. But you know what? With us sacrificing our body, giving our body a sacrifice, a living sacrifice, that's quite different, isn't it? Sacrifice is voluntary giving up something to someone or in control of another. That's a sacrifice. It suggests consecration as well. Consecration is a dedication to a sacred purpose. And so as Christians, we're called to sacrifice our body, our heart, our mind, to God in voluntary submission and service. Not given, you know, it's not given in a literal sacrifice like we read in the Old Testament. Not for the destruction of the body. This body, we still live in this body when we give our body a living sacrifice. It's not to the destruction of the body, but in a total surrender to the Lordship of Christ. And God needs to work on us at times in that total surrender deal. Maybe I'm by myself, I don't know. But it's just that we are to give that a total surrender to the Lordship of Christ. And this is not just denying some certain things and trying to gain favor with God. This is something much more serious than that. Rather, it's the result of salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ to the deliverance from the bondage of self and sin. The bondage of self and sin. The Apostle Paul, well, maybe I'll let that for a little later. our body is the physical part of with us. It's fleshly inclinations, appetites, and including our feelings and our abilities. That's the body. This body of flesh, often referred to as the old man. You know, the Apostle Paul preached about the old man or the new man in Ephesians. And so this old man. Now again, let me repeat there. It's it's to be sacrificed with the fleshly inclinations, our appetites, including our feelings and abilities. And we need to sacrifice. And along with it, our intellect, our struggles and desires must be brought under the control of Christ. Now, proposing to do something like this, and I'm sure many of you have experienced this already, it brings a conflict. You may turn with me to Galatians, or you can just put the scripture reference down. In chapter 5, where he says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to each other. We're actually in a warfare. And so he says, one to the other, they're contrary, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led by the Spirit of God, ye are not under the law. So this thing of giving our bodies a living sacrifice doesn't kill the body. In fact, it doesn't even eradicate it. It's there. It's that that conflict that we have between the spirit and the flesh, and the outcome of this daily battle determines our present spiritual state and actually the eternal destiny that we will go to after this life. The battle. Jesus said, that was the Apostle Paul too, says, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. More than conquerors. I mean, that's riding high. It's because of him, not us. And we're in this this fleshly body yet. And as I said earlier, the Old Testament sacrifices were burned with fire upon the altar. And offering our bodies a living sacrifice is quite different than that. and that the flesh, the old man, as I said, is not eradicated, and we live in this body, and the appetites and desires and stimulates things. But that desire can come back and control us again, unless we are true to this teaching that God gives us. While we live in this body, the appetites and desires are stimulated and allowed to control us. We must continually reckon ourselves dead indeed unto sin and alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We must be surrendered to that. And so there's a danger, of course, that we can fail in really dedicating our bodies, giving ourselves up to keep our old man on the altar, that old man of sin and the flesh. To keep it, or maybe just do a partial sacrifice. I don't want to give this up, so I won't put that on the altar. And this here is just it's just so much a part of me, I can't part. Well, in my studies, I found a verse in Psalms 118, verse 27, that helped me out on how do we keep this body of flesh on the altar. These desires and these appetites and these things that are contrary to what God wants us to see getting involved in. And so he says there, bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. You remember how Moses, I believe, was told to put horns on the altar. But anyhow, it gave me some new ideas, you know. How can we do this? How can we really do this and stay with it? But he says here, bind that sacrifice and even unto the horns of the altar. Well, Abraham, when he was told to take Isaac, his son, and sacrifice him, Abraham traveled 3 days, and then he told his servants there, he said, you stay here, the boy and I are going to go sacrifice to the Lord. And they had the stuff that it takes there. Isaac was kind of curious and said, here we have fire and wood, but where's the lamb for the altar, for the sacrifice? And of course, Abraham, as staunch as he was, he was also flesh and blood, but he says, well, God will provide a lamb for the sacrifice. And so they went on, and then they came to the place, and Abraham built the altar. He laid the wood in order on the altar, and what did he do next? Thought somebody might have that answer. He bound his son. He probably had his hands down like this, and he bound him, wrapped those cords around there to where he just couldn't even do anything. And so, but anyhow, fortunately, God says, oh, Abraham, don't do anything to your son. You know, I know that you fear God. And they could both come back. In fact, Abraham had said that when we have sacrificed, we'll come back. We will come back. Well, anyhow, so what are some of these cords that we can use to bind the fleshly nature of our bodies as that living sacrifice to the horns of the altar? And one thing that comes to mind is the cord of faith. The cord of faith would keep it there. Really, a strong faith, and that's what we need. Faith believes in God. Faith believes the Word of God. And faith believes the salvation was made possible through the blood of Christ that was shed for me and you and everyone else that comes to the Lord and wants to be a part of his family. True faith moves one to confession and sin and repentance and contrition. And so it helps us to grow in this. Faith saves us, and the Christian life is a walk of faith. And by faith, we live according to God's demands of holy living and cross-bearing, denying of self, which is only opening up ourselves to God's best. Yeah, God's demands, living a holy life and cross-bearing. We're living in a selfish world, self-indulgent, pleasure-seeking world. And this is something that we need to be careful how much we include ourselves in the world's doing and the world's doing. Which would, if we let that self loose again, it's going to take us back right where we were. But faith responds to the discipleship in a practical expressions of the separated life. In verse 2 of our text, it says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God." That our verse today for the adult and youth was a verse that talked about regeneration. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's through God that so urgently draws us as well with the Holy Spirit, that we would continue to keep this old man on the altar. Christian growth and sanctification comes by feeding on the Word of God in faith. And so let's keep ourselves separated from the world and their pleasure craze and sports craze and stuff like that. Let's keep ourselves separate from that. I would urge you. Young people are drawn to some of those things. And I just think it's going to take us down the road we don't really want to go if we stop and think. The work of the Holy Spirit requires the element of faith that applies the truth to our experiences and the choices in daily life. In daily life. Faith sees the sovereign hand of God in the difficulties and disappointments of life. Faith places on the altar, all on the altar, without reserve. I was really blessed with the message that Lonnie Miller gave us. I just thought it was so good, dealing with hurts. But when we have this faith in God, in sovereign hand of God, in the difficulties and disappointments of life, we can put those on the altar and forgive. In Hebrews 11, verse 6, it says that without faith it is impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And he's right there for us. If we run into a problem with that old man getting off of the altar, he will give us strength if we recognize through faith that this is not what God wants. And now we go to another, the cord of love. The cord of love. We love him because he first loved us. And he also says there, that's in 1 John 4:19, and in Mark 12, verses 30 and 31, we have Jesus' expression, "And thou shalt love the Lord with all thy, the Lord thy God, with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength." I mean, there's a lot of alls there, but all means all, and all is, that's all that all means, is all. All of it must get on the altar. And this is the first commandment. And the second is likened to that, namely, love thy neighbor as thyself. That cord of love can be tightened around to where we will stay in the love of God. Love for God springs from a realization that God loves us, and that his love brought salvation by the death of Jesus Christ on Calvary. And it is more than just a feeling. Here, some time ago, I was reading an article about feelings, how many people go by feelings. But we dare not, brothers and sisters. We dare not go on feelings, or we do things that God would not be satisfied with. It's more than a feeling. And love for God carries a sense of unworthiness and indebtedness to him. Yeah, we're not worthy of all that God has done for us. Here, just the past couple of days, I met several people, and they weren't together, but asked them, you know, to just start a conversation. How are you today? And, you know, there's two or three of them said, "More than I deserve. I'm doing more than I'm, you know, God has given us more than I deserve." And that's very true. Love for God carries a sense of unworthiness and indebtedness that issues into total surrender and willing service. Willing service, yeah, that's really. Love is proven by obedience and discipleship. Jesus said, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." And it's just that simple, and yet it takes work to be overcomers. We must depend on the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one that we can have be more than conquerors through him who loved us. And love for God is seen in love for others. As we love each other, you know, love for God is seen in love for others as we relate to them in daily life. Love for others is a choice of the will. You know, God has not called us to see through each other. But he's called us to see each other through. And that's what he wants. And some of the things that Brother Lonnie shared reminded me of a little verse that a poet wrote sometime years ago, I guess. A load is light if you carry it right, though it weighs as much as a boulder. But a tiny chip is too heavy to bear if you carry it on your shoulder. And so our love, only as self is on the altar, can we truly love as Christ loved, in humility and without reserve. Personal relationships test the limits of our sacrifice. Personal relationships. It's so important that our relationships. And if somebody does something to us, let's go in love and just talk to him. That's the way God instructed us to do. And that's God's way. But Satan's way is to go and tell everybody else about it. So please, let's keep this old man on the altar. Let's tie him up with the cord of faith, the cord of love, and last but not least, the cord of commitment. being committed to God and His Word. A living sacrifice requires commitment, and commitment claims the power of God for daily victory over temptations. And so may God help us in this. Commitment motivates the choices of self-denial and cross-bearing. Defeat and failure in our Christian life may stem from a lack of really being committed to God and His Word and what He has for us. The cord of commitment. It's so important to stay committed. Commitment stands firm in the face of peer pressure. Stands firm. Or ridicule, even, you know. Commitment stands firm in the face of peer pressure or ridicule. Commitment refuses to compromise scriptural principle for expediency and material gain. Now, there are all kinds of things that Satan wants to bring up to us to get us off course. May we be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Those who are committed serve willingly wherever they are called, at home or abroad. And those whose lives are on the altar of sacrifice are willing to spend and be spent. You know, we know that committed individuals appreciate the voice and authority of spiritual brotherhood. Excuse me. May we realize that there is a certain amount of delegated authority to ministers. And if we fail to exercise that authority, delegated authority in the spirit of fear of God, we will be, accountable. We will be accountable for that. So may we as preachers not just, you know, bounce along. I know here some time ago we had some of the Five Bishop Committee had an article about it's coming where the church decides instead of the ministers leading out. I don't know what all that's involved. I don't know a lot of the congregations and the ministers, but committed individuals appreciate the voice of authority. Young people, how would they go if they go, just the parents wouldn't even pay much attention to them, just let them grow up like weeds. They need instruction, they need direction. And so it is with the church. Those whose lives are on the altar of sacrifice are willing to spend and be spent for the cause of Christ and His church. A life of sacrifice is a holy life. It's sanctified. And this is all involved in a commitment. Salvation is by the sacrifice of Christ alone. But to continue as a child of His requires giving of ourselves in total surrender on the altar of sacrifice, not only initially, but in an ongoing way. So it's ongoing. We'll be dealing with this, brothers and sisters, as long as we live. I used to think when people get older, you know, they're not bothered with certain things, you know, but I know I've talked to a lot of older gentlemen, brothers, and they found out that Satan just tries to tempt them in things that, in their old age. So we'll battle with this as long as we live. So may God help us in an ongoing way. I would like to share with you, here some time ago, we know the bishop, brother, and have heard him preach a number of times, and you might remember, if you used the Beside Still Waters, you might remember this devotional, The Transformed Life. And he's in the same direction that I have been reading and studying and so forth. But he says here, his key verse also is, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He goes on to say that our body is the house. Now, I haven't really studied this here, but it was just come to my mind. It is the house for our soul, spirit, mind, emotions, and volition, which is the power to choose. It also houses our physical organs. And when we are asked to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, not a dead sacrifice, it includes every vital part of who we are. A living sacrifice is a resurrected life. Resurrected from the old man, we come to the new man in Christ Jesus. The Apostle John calls this new birth, or born of the Spirit. So Paul mentions the putting off of the old man and putting on the new one, the new man. One older sacrifice calls it walking the way of salvation. Now, what did I say there? One older servant calls it walking the way of salvation. And this is righteousness in God's sight by faith in Christ. Being transformed. You know, this reminded me of a message that Brother Eli Kaufman from Montezuma, Georgia, preached, one on the metamorphosis. That's kind of a different word. But anyhow, who knows what that's all about? Metamorphosis. Pardon? Yes. School children have often experienced a caterpillar, and then it gets himself in the tight spot, and it's called a cocoon. And then sometime later, a beautiful butterfly comes out. And that's what needs to happen with us. Being transformed. In Greek, metamorphosis, as a cocoon changes into a beautiful butterfly, by the renewing of our minds, motivates us to not be conformed to this world. This affects every aspect of our transformed life. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Worldliness starts in the heart. If your heart desires and some things that are really not applicable to our Christian walk of life, if it starts in your heart, and if you don't kill it soon, why, it'll take over. But anyhow, it tempts our affections, tests our desires, and tries our commitment. The world system is portrayed as delightful and purposeful, but it is doomed to destruction. Our devotion cannot be divided. There is no such thing as having the best of both worlds. They cannot be mixed. Things of this world may be used but not loved. Many times it is best to do without. Brotherhood decisions can provide safeguards, but personal convictions, pure motives, and a sincere commitment to follow the Father's will keeps us unspotted from worldly lusts and pride. And the world passes away with the lust thereof, But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Let us pray for discernment and protection from being drawn into the world. Now, this was Omer Miller, Brother Omer Miller in Everett, Michigan. I think some of you are aware of who Omer is. They've got the counseling center up in Everett, Michigan, for many Amish people and more go through that counseling center as well. And so it's really, like he says here, let us pray for protection and discernment that we be not overtaken in the world. What was said to me first and then to those that have ears to hear. Thank you for your prayers. And this is all I have. Let's just kneel for prayer.